What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my special guest, Jay.
The other host. That's right.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I leaned into it.
The other host of this here podcast.
My understanding was that if I just said, yeah, he's a special guest, that's fine. You don't need to be the special guest. Like, he's the special guest. I'll give you that title.
Right.
That you would just be like,
look, I understand what you're trying to lean into it, but my strategy is to not be what you say. So.
No matter what.
Basically.
That can both work for you or against
it
you.
It could. We'll see.
This is games of manipulation.
Who knows? Yeah, that's what you're playing over there.
As much as the podcast is a conversation that we have once a week with each other,
yeah.
I also feel like the opening dialogue is like a small little saga, you know?
Yeah.
That, like, we're getting like little itty bits of.
Someone's going to edit together one day just the opening bits.
Just the opening
to
bits.
To see like the saga of the one true host, the special guest, the other host, the co-host.
Right. So that, like, you kind of get like this big long narrative that's basically exactly the same thing on repeat.
Well, not entirely. I feel like there's been lots of drama, you know?
Oh, yeah. Ups, downs, all around.
Yeah. People are signing up for Team Jazzy J all the time over on the Patreon.
Well,
all the time.
When there's Team Buzzy Bee available, yeah. You know.
I mean, it's right there. It's one click away.
Yeah, but alphabetically.
Does it feel as good? I don't know.
Alphabetically speaking, Buzzy Bee comes first twice. Just saying.
Hey, well, you can't discount the alphabet, that's for sure. Ben, do you have a corny joke for us? Because we totally forgot last time.
We did totally forget. I think that we actually ended up including it in the After the Final Pop, which is our small follow-up bit of bonus content that you can get over on Patreon.
That's right.
Jay, what do you call shoes made of banana peels?
Slippers?
Yes!
Oh!
I think that's the first one you've ever gotten.
Oh, no, I got... Is it? I thought we did a snowman one where it smelled like carrots or something.
Oh, yeah.
Was that one?
I think that was one once.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Slippers.
That's a good point. Slippers,
oh,
because you slip on a banana peel.
I immediately went to the scene in Black Panther where she's like... Guess what I called them? Sneakers. Get it? Because you don't get it. Okay.
You don't get it. Oh my gosh. What is the origin? I need to know of why banana peels are so associated with slipping.
Like, I feel like it must originate from like slapstick comedy, like Three Stooges or Charlie Chaplin kind of stuff. But that's my guess. Otherwise, it was like a heavily featured thing in like Looney Tunes and cartoons.
Right. Like someone decided at some point in time, though, to be like, you know, it could be kind of slippery. That's always on the ground. A banana peel.
Right.
Like, why not like an apple core?
It's so like ingrained into our culture. Like, it's like Mario Kart. That's an item. You slip on banana peels.
Let's see here. And this is me. Like, I'm just going completely off the cuff. I Googled live and it says, as it turns out, the discovery of what makes them so earned a... Wow. I think that I was reading... You know how Google gives you like... the answer to your question very frequently, like it's smart enough to like go through and like,
yeah,
like
put it as the top result.
It pilfers, you know,
yeah.
and then it gives you like the answer up top. Well,
yeah.
Every once in a while, this thing happens where it like gives you an answer that's like ingrained into like the middle of what is already a paragraph.
Yeah.
Because it has determined like, that's the answer. This is where the answer is.
But it's like trying to show, is what happened. It gave you a paragraph that is the answer, but it also bolded the words you searched to like show off how accurate.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It did do that.
But then it makes it hard to read because just the words you searched are bolded.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Banana peels are especially slippery even when compared to other fruits' peels because of polysaccharide molecules in the peel.
Well, this doesn't explain why pop culture has adopted the slippery banana peel.
It does not
explain
that, but it is interesting that they are, in fact, slipperier.
Yeah.
Do you think that someone must have just, like, legitimately slipped on a banana peel at some point in time, and it was just so hysterical?
For sure. For sure, this had to originate with someone actually slipping on a banana peel.
The first ever banana peel slip.
Yeah.
If I could have been there for that. What an iconic moment in history that nobody's ever seen.
Someone must know this. Someone must know. Or someone can research further than our one Google search result.
They are one Google search result. Yeah, typically that's all. That's all you need, Jay. In order to know all things about all things, plug it into Google, read the top result, and you're done.
That could be like a whole podcast. It's just one Google search result.
And one
it's just,
Google search
you
result.
You have an answer, and it's just like you... Or like what your worldview would be if your perception was only the top result on Google.
Ooh, how very interesting.
man, who knows?
Who does know? Well, that's very interesting anyway. So I am enjoying our conversation about banana peels, but I also need to tell you that I have had an interesting development in the wonderful world of dog poop.
Oh, you have dog poop lady update?
Well, kind of. Okay. Kind of dog poop lady update.
Okay.
Did I say that right? Update. Yeah, I think I got it right. Yeah. All the words in the correct order. People know where I'm going with it. Okay. So I had an interaction with, I feel like it is what people refer to as a Karen.
Oh, okay.
You know, like.
Like, we're. I'm not 100% sure I would use the term Karen correctly, but like someone who complains to customer service and causes a fuss, like your middle-aged aunt who's like causing a fuss about everything.
A kerfuffle.
Right.
So to speak. Yeah. 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 You okay. know, where like, you know, maybe you ordered like a medium rare steak and it's medium and
oh,
it's
they're like sending it back.
And it's like the greatest tragedy of all tragedies.
Right. Causing a lot of drama with the waiter.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Homeowners mm-hmm. Association, like the person who's like standing in your yard with like the ruler and they're like, you're supposed to be 3 inches. What's up with this 2.35?
They're upset that you cut your grass too short?
Yes.
In this situation?
In this situation.
They want it longer.
Well, you have to be careful with grass. If you cut it too short, occasionally it will cause die-off.
Oh.
But do you want to know what else apparently causes die-off in lawns?
Too high?
Dog poop.
Oh.
I managed to come full circle somehow.
You managed to, but I'm going to immediately sidetrack it.
Okay, immediately sidetrack it.
So, because like golf courses, which they are, what's the grass height on that normally? Like 1 centimeter?
Okay, fair question. This is actually one of those things. It's a very different kind of grass.
Okay, but they're like insanely well manicured. And the point of it is that it's very low grass.
Well, yes, because you can't like, you know, putt on, you can't putt on like tall grass like you would have in your yard.
Yeah, no.
Bermuda grass is what apparently they use.
That's golf grass.
For putting greens is Bermuda grass.
Now, is the putting green the same grass as the fairway, as the same grass as the rough? Do you know?
You were asking me so many questions.
Bet I needed you. I thought you started spitting off grass facts, and I needed to know. I was like, I didn't know Ben knew about grass. I have questions.
You need more grass facts? Hang on.
My lawnmower, when like the guy I hired to like mow my lawn, not my machine, my lawnmower. When he came over to give me like my first, like, you know, to ask me his spiel about what, like, one of the questions on like the top of his list is like, how high do you want the grass? I was like, oh, I was immediately like, oh. He's like, I normally just set it to about 3 inches, and that, you know, if people like it, I'll just stick it there. That's my default. And I was like, yeah, sounds good to me, dude.
you clearly have spent more time thinking about grass height than I have.
I can't tell you how impressed I am with the guy who mows my lawn, because when I think about it, like, in my life, I've probably mowed, I don't know, the grass 100, 200 times. You know, you'd think you do something that many times, you're like, I'm pretty expert at it. I got this down.
You've almost got your 10,000 hours in mowing the lawn.
Right, like, you figure, if you have mowed the yard 200 times in your life, you are probably pretty good at it.
Certainly.
Yeah. You would think so. You would think so. Until you talk to my guy, Steve, who mows 14 yards a day.
What?
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's knocking out 100 yards. Yards a week.
He's mowed so many more yards than you.
Right, like, you can't imagine how much better someone could be at mowing the grass than you.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I don't know. I almost feel like you can, because this is something that, like, in my years of mowing the grass,
yeah,
I have slowly like adopted more essential tools that I consider like absolutely required to have successfully mowed the grass.
Right.
Like, it's not for me, it's not just my lawnmower.
Yeah.
I also have my weed eater.
Yeah.
And my leaf blower.
Yeah.
Which I think the leaf blower, unsung hero of a clean looking lawn.
Oh. It absolutely is. You're right that you need all three of those things as a base.
Yes.
But here's what I would say. Like, obviously, you're way better at it probably than I am. But I bet if you had Steve come over and mowed your grass, you'd be like, what have I even been doing?
Like, have I like, even been mowing it? Using scissors prior?
Exactly. You're like, even if you're getting the same result, you're going to be like, what was that, like 10 minutes?
Okay.
You know, like, the way he's, like, shifting in and out of equipment is so fast.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
He's got quick releases.
He's got, like, arm guards. He's got safety. He's got, like, backup mowers based on, like, moisture, you know?
Based on moisture.
Yeah, it's like, it's too wet for this mower today. I gotta use this one today.
I gotta use the other
one. Or I'm in rotation. I used this one last week. Gotta let it rest, you know?
Like, okay.
Oh.
I think Steve would hate my yard. You wanna know why?
Why?
Because I live on a triangle.
You live on a triangle.
It is. It actually, and it's not just a triangle. It's four triangles.
Four triangles.
Yeah.
With a steep part.
With a steep part.
Yeah, he's got a mower for that.
Well, okay. But, yeah. You know, does he have a triangle-shaped mower for triangle-shaped yards?
I don't think the
shape of the mower matters.
The shape of the mower matters as much. It's just going to, whatever it goes over, it's just going to cut.
It's just going to cut. Oh my gosh. When I moved into my current house and I discovered how triangular my lot is, I was like, this is so infuriating for mowing the lawn, because like what I used to love about mowing the lawn was just like walking in like one big long straight, turning around, going back in the other straight, turning around, going back in the other straight.
Oh.
It was so satisfying.
Oh, you're a back and forther.
Well, it doesn't matter, Jay, because on a triangle, there is no back and forth.
Right.
It's just constantly pinging around in very short bursts of triangles.
Okay. But when you had a square yard, you would go down, back, down, back, down, back.
Down, back, down, back, down, back,
okay.
Down, back.
Okay,
yeah.
I was more of a spiral man. I would go down, right, right. I was just making a very concentric right turns.
What?
Yeah.
What happens when you get to the middle and you're only taking like three steps before each turn?
Fantastic. It feels great.
Oh, this is weird.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's it feels amazing. You get to that. It's like what you're waiting for. Like every single time you make a lap around the yard, it's like a little bit shorter.
A little bit shorter. It's like, you know what? I have less to do now.
Yeah.
It's a giant game of snake.
It is a giant game of snake. Yeah. That was my preferred strategy on yards.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not my strategy whatsoever.
Not your strategy
at all. I like big long stretches so that you can have like the tall grass in one area and then like the perfectly cut grass right next to it. Although the other thing I've discovered is that
I've got perfectly cut grass in every direction though.
You know
what I'm saying?
I understand. But no, mowing my yard is like one of these things that I like simultaneously love to do, but it is just horrifically frustrating. Mm-hmm. And there's also the people who lived there prior did this amazing thing, which was put in like reasonably nice landscaping on the property, which looks really good when everything's tidy, but it also means you have to go around all these trees all the time.
Yeah.
And they're like set in an offset. So like literally there's this one area where I have to figure eight through a whole bunch of trees.
You should try my concentric circles, man.
There is no way to do a concentric circle inside of my triangle.
Look, no. Here, you go around the complete edge of the triangle, and anytime you get to the part where you have to like get to a tree and you like accidentally like intersect another spot and you've like created a new island of grass, great news. You can go finish off that entire island and you get that feeling of like, whew, just finished a whole section all at once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you're looking to mix it up.
If I'm looking
concentric
to mix it
triangles
up.
Might be the answer to your problem.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Good point. I will be surely to give that a go. But yeah, I will say, no, leaf blower, total unsung hero.
Yeah.
This is totally one of those things where I don't get very judgy or high horsey on just about anything, but I do think that one of the things that I picked up on was that like if you were formerly, I could like see anyone whose grass is just actively not long and be like, wow, what a well-maintained yard. But now if there's like grass clippings like on the walkways, it's like, oh man, they didn't leaf blow. Huh.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
Should I go get mine and just do it for him real quick? Or would that be the total Karen thing to do?
I see. I was like, bring it a full circle.
Bring it a full
right,
circle.
Tell me your...
Full triangle, rather.
Full triangle!
I brought
it.
Yes!
Way to bring a full triangle!
Concentric triangles!
Oh, boy. Okay, let's talk about your Karen.
Okay, I do need to clarify, because this is an expansion of the dog poop saga. However, it's a new boss, so to speak.
Okay, so not the same lady who was picking up poop from your yard.
Not the same. So yes, that's what I was having prior. Is I was having I looked outside one day while drinking coffee, and there was this lady who literally had like a grocery bag full of grocery bags full of poop. And
this is the grossest hobby ever.
It's the weirdest thing ever. And I think we threw it out to the pop, and we were saying like, is it possible that they're using this for like compost or something like that, like for gardening purposes?
Right.
And they see it sort of as like, well, who's going to complain about me picking up poop from their yard? Like no one, surely. But a whole bunch of people told me that you cannot use dog poop for composting.
Right.
So that is at least what the general consensus that I have not further verified by any of my own singular Google searches.
Not to say that's not what she was trying to do. Anyway,
not to say that, yes, there is the distinct possibility that that person was genuinely just attempting to use it for fertilization without the knowledge, because they too have not done the singular Google search.
They got their composter. They were so excited. They're like, man, if only I could get more poop. Wait,
there's this one yard.
Great idea. They have no idea.
No idea. So
that mystery is still out there. We actually don't know what's going on there.
Unfortunately, I have no resolution.
Okay. Yet.
Yet.
You know, I didn't think we'd ever come back to this topic, so the fact that we've come back to it with new dog poop lady. Okay, let's hear the story.
Okay, so I need to back up a little bit, because I have had this dilemma. So like I said before, my lot is on a corner, which makes it a triangle, which means I don't have a backyard.
Okay.
And because of the circumstances, it also makes it difficult to install a fence, because the fence would then block the visual throughway for drivers in front of my home, mm-hmm. for watching for oncoming traffic to the side of my home.
Okay.
So there's a couple of like odd circumstances as it pertains to your ability to own a dog in this specific property, where you can't just like let them into your fenced in backyard, let them trot about, do their business, whatever.
Right.
So we have an invisible fence, and I think I've talked about that before too. So like the dogs can't go to the sidewalk or anything. But one of the issues about the property is that it also has a mailbox physically attached to my home. So it's not like a mailbox at the end of a walkway that you go down and check. The mailman has to actually walk down my walk. Yes. And by total mailman logic, hates my dog.
Ah,
dogs.
So cliche.
If I was
a mailman, I would go out of my way to be like supportive of people's dogs, just so I wouldn't be like a cliche mailman.
I know. It's like, yeah. But you know, to be fair, there are plenty of people who are afraid of dogs, and I'm sure that this particular line of work, just like the banana peel, you know, it probably comes from something. You know, it's like there's a reason why they're afraid of dogs, and it's because they're constantly walking onto property and dogs are always barking at them. So,
yeah,
it's understandable enough, but I have had like this big situation with the mailman where he is like, you know, really, really, really doesn't like to go onto the property. And the timing of it's difficult. You know, you like let your dogs out, and especially with working from home, I'm at home more, which means I'm more inclined to like let the dogs out while I might be intersecting with this guy. So anyway, in an effort to appease that situation and, you know, not put anybody in like a stressful situation, because that's the last thing I want to do. It weighs on me, you know, like makes me stressed, and then I start stress sweating, and nobody wants that.
No one wants that.
No, not at
like,
all.
Oh my God, am I sweating? And then that thought makes you sweat more.
I know. And then like, you can't be aware of the fact that you're sweating because it turns you into a human sprinkler. So Allie and I walk the dogs a lot. And so we're outside, like on Friday morning, and we're doing our usual lap around the block, and we're like three houses down from our home, and we're on the sidewalk, and the way that the whole area is oriented, you've got like the road, a small patch of grass, the sidewalk, and then respective property owners' homes.
Okay.
And the way that the city has it set up is that basically like you don't technically own that patch of grass on the other side of the sidewalk, but it's still your responsibility to maintain it. Like they don't send someone out to cut it for you.
They get to have their cake and eat it too.
It's very frustrating, and it's even more frustrating for me because I have like a service that like fertilizes, you know, but they won't fertilize that because I don't own it. So I have this issue of like that patch of grass.
Problem.
I know, not being as nice as like my yard, even though,
Well, I used to live in the same neighborhood you did, and I had a similar problem where said neighborhood, the norm is to have like a driveway that accommodates about one car, and if you have a two-car thing, there's just street parking, and so there's always this big problem of like, well, the spot, the road in front of your house isn't technically yours. Anyone's allowed to park there.
Right.
But if someone else does, there's not much you can do about it.
True.
Because you don't technically own that spot, even though like you kind of do. But right. That's not the problem I'm getting at. I similarly had a section of grass between the like
end of your property,
the end of my property, and the road that I had to maintain. But on that section of grass was this big old tree that
big
like
old tree
overhanged over the road a little, and it was directly where you would obviously park the car. So the tree constantly over the car, constantly threatening to lose a branch and make you call your insurance adjuster and be like, guess what happened?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I mean, it was an old tree. Like, it looked dead.
Okay.
But because, like, and I had another tree in my backyard that was constantly, like, a big problem for me. You and I spent a day chopping it down.
Removing it.
Yeah, removed the tree. It was a big improvement in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This tree, I wasn't allowed to do anything to because I didn't own that tree.
Because you don't own the tree.
I don't own the tree.
Yep.
Oh, super frustrating. And even worse, since I have moved away from that house, the city has removed the tree.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you. It is no longer there. I was like, oh, my. So frustrating. I mean, I'm happy for the new owners that they don't have to deal with it, but I'm upset that I had to deal with it literally the entire time until like the day I moved out.
Right, right. Yeah, it's been like what, like 8 months since then. Wow. So wow.
Anyway.
Very unfortunate. Yeah. Yes. So anyway, back to my my dog walking story. So our big thing is that, you know, we started like taking the dogs around the block because then they're able to like, you know, get some exercise, go to the bathroom, do all that type of stuff. And so we're out walking and we're like three houses down from my house, and our dog Chewy, who's this like, you know, he's a half Shih Tzu, half something else.
So a regular Chewbacca.
A regular Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's
you wouldn't want to play him in chess.
Definitely don't play him in chess. He's got moves.
Yeah.
He's got moves. So he's popping a squat, you know, because he's a dog.
Right.
And that's what he does. And this woman is walking down the street and she's sort of coming at us, and like she sort of like removes her headphones and goes, "Wow, that's a beautiful house. When did you move in?" And Allie and I are like, "Oh, we actually live like just down the block. We're like right over there." And she was like, "Oh." And then she like looks at Chewy and like gives me this like big glaring look. And I'm sort of like, why do you ask? Like it was kind of like one of these things where I was like, I very much realized that
you said that out loud.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was like, why did you ask that? And she goes like, she's like, "No reason." And then puts her headphones in and like stomps off. And so what I had originally thought was just like, you know, Allie and I with our two dogs, you know, just being out. I thought it was just someone who has been like, "Oh, beautiful house." Like, you know, like just being a friendly neighbor walking by. Turns out, no, she was being malicious.
Oh,
well, I don't know about malicious, but she was taking issue with the fact that like Chewy had gone to the bathroom in this like patch of grass.
Okay.
Which, and by the way, was like, is dead. Like literally, like it was on dirt.
Dead. Okay. It's on dirt. And just so we're clear, you guys were picking up after.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yes, 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 yes.
Right.
And so, and I'm like, actually this particular instance was actually like remarkable in that we had run out of our like little like leash, like poop bags, you know, that you carry, like the ones that are like latched to your leash so you can like clean up. So I had specifically brought like grocery bags that we, you know, we like stuff into that drawer and you've got like 4,000 of them or whatever.
Yeah. Always risky to use them for dog
pickup. Oh, yeah.
Because there's always, inevitably, they've got like that like one tiny hole where they ripped, you know, detaching from the last grocery bag.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, well, better just hope I don't grab that hole.
There was actually a fun story once very early on in owning Luna. There was this moment where I was literally carrying a grocery bag and the bottom had completely ripped out of it. And I was talking to somebody and I was like, you know, you kind of use the thing as a glove. I reached through and there was no bottom. And I just legitimately just picked up the poop. And it was like, I was like, no.
The worst.
It was the actual worst. Oh my gosh.
I was checking my son, Nick, the other day. He had been passing some gas and I was like, boy, maybe I should check to see if you've done a little more.
Uh-huh.
And I went to go like, the way you check is just like peel back the diaper. Well, let me tell you, it was just right up to the edge. finger right in it. And I was I don't like it at all.
How do we talk about poop so much on this pop?
Look, poop with the pop.
Are we going to start calling it the poop?
No, we are absolutely not going to start calling it the poop.
Good call. Probably should have put that out into the internet.
Yeah. That's no good.
Now I've planted the seed inside of someone's manure.
That's a kind of poop.
It is. Nicely done.
Okay, anyway,
So I'm standing there, though. Yes, and in this particular occasion, normally we have these, like, really, like, they're, like, scented dog bags or whatever. They're pretty small and discreet and stuff. But on this particular occasion, I had pulled, like, a Kroger grocery bag that was big and white. Like, it was, like a unusually large bag that I was holding. And I, like, literally had it, like, pre-gloved too.
Right.
So like as this woman's walking by, like I have this like look of utter amazement that she has like, you know, thrown shade whilst I'm like actively cleaning up this situation.
Right.
Like I'm 100%, you know, I believe doing like my duty to the neighborhood. And, you know, so of course, you know, I clean up, we keep walking or whatever. And Allie and I are just like, what just happened? Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, this is the type of thing where, like, in the context of dog ownership, the idea of, like, taking your dogs for walks firmly falls into the category of, like, responsible pet owning.
Right.
Like, the idea being, like, you know, if you were not taking your dogs for walks, then that would be, like, the less responsible thing to do.
Right.
So this would almost be, like, somebody, like, chastising you for, like, putting money into, like, a retirement savings plan or something. It's like, isn't that the right thing? Like,
right. I'm trying gonna save?
Yeah, like, have I done a wrong here?
Right.
And so, you know, I'm like befuddled a little bit because I'm sort of like racking my brain thinking like, what else was I supposed to do? And so like, as I'm walking around the block, I'm like slowly like scheming in my head and I'm like, you know, I'm getting pretty like steamed about this situation.
You had a negative encounter and now you're racing through all the arguments you wish you'd had.
Yeah. Like, or like that I had just like actually taken more of an effort to like speak to her more or something. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm just kind of like, oh my gosh. So literally I'm like, you know, then walking around this neighborhood with this like bag of poop. And the whole time in my head, I'm like, you know, if I run back into her, I'm going to walk over and hand her the bag of poop. And then if she's like, what are you handing me this for? And be like, it's just a bag. And she'd be like, no, it's a bag of poop. And be like, if it's a bag of poop, why were you so upset with what happened back there? If I left poop in that person's yard,
oh,
you know, like, as far as you're concerned, this is an empty bag because right. I haven't done my civil duty and picked up the poop after my dog.
And then she has to carry it. She can't open it because she'll be proven wrong.
Exactly. She can't acknowledge the poop inside because the poop inside is the evidence.
Schrodinger's poop. Exactly.
It both exists and does not exist.
Exactly.
Based on whether or not
as
you...
As long as she keeps it closed, she might be right.
Right.
But she can't give it back to you because that'd be admitting she's wrong.
Also,
and she can't open it. She's just stuck with a closed bag.
She's stuck with a closed bag, which, spoilers, was white and you could see through it.
And had poop in it.
It sure did. But that was like, you know, the justice that's like racing through my mind.
Right.
I'm like, I could get you so good with this because it would use your own logic against you. So anyway, I don't run into her.
Sure.
And it's kind of like one of these things where I'm just left to simmer on it. And it's kind of like, it's sort of like an odd thing because I think just the fact that somebody was like so unexpectedly rude to me, stuck with me in this way that like shouldn't have, you know,
this is what always happens.
Oh, well,
people are like extra rude to you or you just have like a genuinely mean encounter. Like the amount it sticks with you is like, so it like outweighs everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a parking, like everyone has bad parking ticket stories. Everyone's so mad about them because no one wants them ever.
Right.
But I mean, I parked in a parking lot once and it was two paid lots backed up next to each other.
Yes.
Right. And so I pull up and I don't know like which machine I'm supposed to go to.
Oh, I see.
To pay.
Because it could be like this one or that one.
Yeah, like, do I need to pay this one? Do I need to pay that one? And there happens to be a guy who's walking around like giving tickets to people who haven't paid. And I'm like, hey, I parked here. Do I just pay over there? And he was like, yep. And then I came back and he had just completely lied to me. And I had paid at the wrong, not only had I paid at the wrong machine, but then he had given me a ticket. And
no.
He was still there. And I was like, dude, do you remember me asking you about this? And he was like, yeah. And I was just like, oh, I was furious.
Oh,
I was like,
man.
I was like, what? Oh my God. It makes me mad to think about it.
It makes me mad to think about it on your behalf.
I know.
Like that, the injustice of that like, situation.
I know. I was like, you knew I was confused. I talked to you.
Right. And like, you even acknowledged remembering like, talking to me.
Yes. Ugh.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's completely infuriating.
Yes.
Man. Well, so anyway, yeah, same thing. So I keep stewing on it and like a couple days, you know, going by and like every time like I'm walking the dogs, I'm sort of like, you know, talking to Allie about it. I'm like, oh man, like I wonder, you know, like will there be like a chance or something? And so I wake up on Saturday morning and I got up like just unusually early on this day. And it was kind of one of those like where I was like, well, I'm just going to go ahead and start like knocking out some chores and stuff. So I'm like, you know, taking the garbage out. I'm like cleaning up my yard, just doing this, that, and the other. When all of a sudden I hear somebody walk by me and I'm wearing like a Virginia Tech like t-shirt.
Sure.
And the person goes, go Hokies. And so I turn around and it's Karen.
Oh.
It's in the flesh.
Oh my gosh. She's back.
She's back. And so I'm
round
like,
two.
There's like this split second moment, like sheer adrenaline, like, mm-hmm. like fired inside of me. And like all of a sudden, I thought, you know, I could drop what I'm doing. I'm like, man, would it be okay if I talk to you for a minute?
Oh, you talked to her?
I talked to her.
Oh,
I okay. straight
oh,
up.
Dude,
this is
I'm
like,
so excited.
Oh my gosh. I could not believe it. It was like, it was one of these things where I had spent like the last 48 hours of my life. You just I would not say like every second of every day preoccupied with it or anything, but like it was something that had rattled me enough and I walk my dogs frequently enough that like it kept like spurring the
right.
wound back open.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like every time like my dogs were going to the bathroom, I was like, am I doing something wrong here? Like, have I like never realized in my life that like when I'm walking my dogs and like they go to the bathroom, even though I'm cleaning up, like that I'm actively like a problem
right.
for the people's homes that we're in.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, I'm like going through my mind and I'm like, I've talked to people, like I've done it like in front of homeowners before, you know, and they're like, oh, that's that's so like such a cute dog. Is it an Australian Shepherd? Oh, look at the blue eye. Like, right. You know, it's like no one's ever said anything to me. People have always been so friendly.
Right.
And
it's like your base understanding of the rules just been wrong from the start.
From the start.
It's like she came out and was like telling the goalie he can't use his hands.
Right.
And the goalie's like, have I been cheating?
Like, why has nobody called me on this?
Like, I feel like so many games.
Yeah.
So many walks.
And so, you know, basically I'm like, yeah, like, you know, the other day I was walking my dogs. I was just down the street here and, you know, you had like made a comment to my wife and I about like, you know, I think it was because my dog was like going to the bathroom and I was like, we were cleaning up after the dog. Is there something like I needed to be doing, you know, differently in that mm-hmm. situation? And she was it immediately became clear to me that this is like something that she's got like an irrational kind of like connection to, like where it has been some kind of bizarre, like sort of like deep-seated problem that she's dealt with, like in a way that like just goes so far beyond. And so like I start having like an actual dialogue with this person who I had like one of these like negative exchanges with. I talked to her for like 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Outside of my house. Literally at one point in time, Alice woke up. I like look over and she's like literally like looking out the window, like hands up on the thing, like being like, what is he doing out there talking to Karen?
Oh, God.
So yeah, like I started asking her about it and she's like, well, you probably have something figured out with that homeowner and you guys just let your dogs poop in each other's yards. And I was like, no, I just pick up after my dog and I don't see like, you know, there being any like harm done here.
Right.
And, you know, so basically she starts to go on about how she was like a horticulture major in college and how she's been spending all of her time and money and energy cleaning up these patches of grass in front of her house where all of the dog walkers in the entire neighborhood are like incredibly disrespectful and they're always like specifically bringing their dogs to like her yard to, you know, like do their business and stuff. And I mean, it's, I don't know. It was such an unusual interaction, like speaking with someone and going like so far into it. But she tells me that I was like not even the first person she had said something to on this particular occasion.
On this walk.
Yeah. She's like, I'm sorry, you know, that I said something to you. You were like the 12th person. I'd already talked to like 11 people that morning. And I was just like, I had just had enough. And it was like, you talked to 12 people like in like, one morning? What is happening in your world that you're like magnetized to dogs that are using the restroom?
I couldn't intentionally go out. Like, even if you go on a walk and you see people with dogs, the odds that you're going to see the dog while it's doing its business, you know, is pretty low.
Right.
And then to see 11 examples of it on a single walk, like, how long she been walking?
How long had she been walking?
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe just forever. Maybe she is a sentient being of the streets. You know, like just like Robo Karen.
Robo. Oh gosh, out there policing dog pooping on yards.
Right. Right. No. So anyway, the whole exchange. It was. I felt like it was this really unusual opportunity because I'm sure that anybody out there has had like a negative experience with something where it seems like this massive misunderstanding happened and you never get that. Like chance to like speak to the person or figure it out. And I feel like in this like one fell swoop, adrenaline pumping, you know, like I'm standing there like talking to that person all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like, I almost felt like I was starting to like go into like a counseling experience with this person where like, as she started like venting about her like frustration with the dogs of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Strangely, you could almost like see like her shoulders like kick back a little bit, you know, and she was like relaxing herself and like it almost seemed like she was like getting it off her chest and being validated, you know, in this idea that like the waste of dogs in the world was like this major, you know, problem.
Oh,
you know what she did? She compared dog walking, the dog's ability to hold it while they're out on a walk, to a human's ability to hold it while out on a walk.
Explain that further.
Truth fact. So this is the argument she made. I'm like, sorry, I feel like I'm so emotional about this that I'm like bits and pieces of it are coming back into my mind all in one like, you know, go. So
yeah.
The least coordinated story I've ever told, but you know, you're getting the full gist of it.
Okay.
So she's the thing that she's saying though is that she doesn't understand why the dogs can't just hold it like while they're out on these walks. And she's like, you know, like if you had to go to the bathroom, surely you're not pulling your pants down and popping a squat in my front yard.
Wait. She said that to you.
Those exact words. Those exact words.
Dude, I can't believe you were like remaining like calm. I feel like just go on.
Yeah, no, I mean, and she's like,
I'm speechless.
She's like, well, and yeah, she's like, I don't even
know.
Does
she know what dogs are?
I don't know. And this is the thing. It's like my so bad want to see the world from other people's perspective is like trying my best here.
Yeah.
Like this is, it's like an overdrive though. You know, if I have like a little mechanism in my brain, mm-hmm. like a drinking bird.
Yeah.
That's like the mechanism. It's like on overdrive.
Yeah.
It's drank all the water.
The water's gone.
There's no water left for the drinking bird.
Right.
And so.
Now he's got to hold it.
And yeah, so it's just like in her mind, basically what she thinks you needed to be doing is that if the dog needed to go to the bathroom, then you needed to safely make it back to your own yard so they could do their business and then carry on with your walk. And that is like your effectively responsibility as, I guess, a dog owner. And it was just like, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to mentally like grasp it. And I asked her, because that's the other thing, is that in my neighborhood, plenty of people have like a little sign in their yard and they have nice, very well manicured yards, and it'll just be like a dog like popping a squat, and it'll say like no, or it'll say like, you know, we love your pup, but please, you know,
yeah,
like have them
not
on our lawn. And the fact of the matter is those signs completely work. Like if Allie and I see it, we're like, oh, no problem, like, you know, and we'll sort of like either like walk out into the street, you know, we'll like do something to like ensure that that's not where they go.
Okay,
just to be like respectful of those things. And so yeah, I'm like, well, like you could try putting a sign in your yard. I bet people would, you know, respect that. And she's like, no way, if I put a sign in my yard, people are gonna target me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I don't
know. Oh, this is like, this woman sounds like she has been dwelling on this problem in her own mind with no one to talk to about it for years. Like, I bet she has paced around her home speaking this argument out loud in fury.
Yeah.
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 For a long time. She's like, I can't, I like, if you put signs up, that's going to target it. It's like, that's like saying, like, if you put a stop sign up, you're just asking people to blow through it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, people stop at stop signs.
Right. Yeah. It's like, we're going to put up a stop sign. You know what's going to happen? People aren't going to stop.
Yeah. They're going to try faster.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think that she has grown so cynical in this particular occasion. But so my ongoing hope from it, then like the thing that's like stuck with me is almost like, I wonder if having had that conversation with her and presenting like a perspective that is like level and contrary to her own,
mm-hmm.
like I'm like, is there a chance that I made a difference?
Have you moved the needle?
Have I moved the needle? Have I made her maybe just ever so slightly less likely to make a comment to another person?
Did she make you less likely to let your dog poop on a stranger's yard?
I would say that the whole exchange, the big takeaway that I had, and I would say that, like, you know, in the 2 days that it's been since that I've been, you know, taking the dogs on walks, I would say the biggest thing is that I don't know that I had ever, in the particular instance where Chewy was going to the bathroom, he was in that patch of grass on the roadside of the sidewalk.
On the city-owned.
The city-owned side.
City grass.
Yeah, city grass. That Karen needed to point out that Karen maintains. You know, it's owned by the city, but you know who has to maintain it? Right. Karen does.
Yeah.
That's, she even used her own name.
Wow.
In that particular occasion, which is not Karen, spoilers. but yeah, and then I was like, well, I do too, you know. Like,
right.
And
you gotta do it too.
Yeah. She actually complimented me on my yard. Just
wow.
By the by.
Okay.
Yeah. Not for nothing, but Karen likes my yard.
Yeah. Did you explain to her that your dog poops in your yard all the time and you don't have dead patches?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did say that. Yeah.
So
she complimented my yard and I was like, you know where my dogs normally go to the bathroom?
Right.
There.
Right. But apparently the dog poo in her yard is killing all the grass.
Apparently.
Despite it being like a natural fertilizer sort of situation.
Yes. But, well, based on boss number one.
Based on boss number one.
Right.
Maybe.
Who's using it potentially as fertilizer. I would say the biggest takeaway that I've had is much more of a conscious effort to direct the dog to that city-owned side.
Okay.
Which, I mean, is not the easiest thing to do anyway.
Gotta go.
And, you know, sometimes it's just sort of like you're reacting to the situation. Like, I've had it be the case before where, like, I'm just trotting along with Indy, and, like, next thing I know, I, like, look backwards, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, whoops.
Like, I didn't realize you stopped, Indy. And then, you know, I'm trying to do my best here. So what I really need from people is, like, am I doing the right thing or is she right?
I think I know the neighborhood you live in because I used to live there. And to me, the unspoken law, and it probably is a spoken law, of neighborhood living where many people own dogs and walk them around the neighborhood is that, one, you will pick up after the dog.
Yes.
And two, unless otherwise maybe specifically specified by a sign or something, it's, you know, dogs are going to go where they're going to go. Just please pick it up.
Right.
Yeah.
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 So that's been my understanding as well. But yeah, I pose it to the entire population.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Thanks. What do you guys think? Be sure to send your responses to popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Okay, Ben, we have some follow-up here from other people who have been scamming the accelerated reader program.
Oh my gosh, this was so funny.
Yeah.
Which, okay, you want to know what really steamed my grapes? Was the number of people who were like, oh yeah, I took all the Harry Potter books and they were all worth 50 points a piece. And I was like, are you joshing me right now?
Wow.
With this, with the, you're dangling your ability to have more auction dollars just right in front of my face.
Do you reckon that the accelerated reader point system has like had some like, I don't know, point creep over the years? Like it has suffered inflation?
Possibly.
You know, or are like the 1 point books you read as a kid still worth 1 point? Or have they been like, okay, let's make it a wider pool. Anything that was worth one's now like 10.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but so this is the other thing too about the Harry Potter books is that I felt like I was always darned if you did and darned if you didn't, because the accelerated reader apparently at every other school was ranking these things at 50 points a piece, but then anybody ever talked to about Harry Potter is like, well, those are just kids' books, you know, like,
it's like, well, you're in elementary school, you are kids,
right? Like, is it like, at what point is advanced reading? Because it seems like nobody, I mean, it's not I would not consider the Harry Potter books to be advanced reading, but
I mean, we've delved pretty deep into them in our own personal lives.
We have.
You can get as deep as you want with Harry Potter. It's a big world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. But yeah, so anyway, we got follow-up from Brittany Turner, who was talking to her husband about my accelerated reader experience.
Yeah.
And apparently, he had found his own unique way to like game the system a
right.
bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had talked about a friend before who would take all of the accelerated reader quizzes for books he hadn't read with the, like, basically like, hey, if I get two questions right, I'll take the 0.4 points.
Right.
You know, no big.
It's all going to the big total.
Which a bunch of people did respond to and said that if you don't get 80% or more, then they don't count towards your total.
Okay, so
that must have been something where they had realized that people had figured that out.
Okay.
But what Brittany's husband had done was figured out that if there was not a quiz inside of the program, then it sounded like there was maybe a tab available for this particular book where you could like literally write the quiz. So it was like this weird loophole where like if you were able to like look up a book that was, I guess, in the system that had no quiz attached to it, then you, the student, literally had the capacity to create the quiz.
That is such power, because you could assign the point value.
You could assign the point value. You could have all of the questions, you know.
Oh, you'd have to be very strategic about how you assign the point value, because clearly you'd want to like make it more than worth your while.
Oh, but yeah.
You wouldn't want to be like... you know, you wouldn't want to make it like 100 points. Be like, hey, look at this. Oh my God, I jumped to the lead in the class.
You got to be like, don't be suspicious.
You got to like take a little bit and maybe more. How very curious.
Yes.
It sounds like, if I had to guess, Brittany's husband had a teacher who was not very tech savvy and was signing in with like some admin rights and then being like, yeah, use it.
You can totally take, just put in your number here.
Yeah, like,
my number, by the way, was 008.
Okay. I have no idea what my number was.
It must mean that I was like eighth in the collective in the alphabet.
Yeah, on the class. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
C name.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be eight. There could be.
That seems kind of low, honestly. Actually, high, honestly.
Yeah, it does.
Got
it
a
does.
Lot of A's and B's in there.
Seems like normally I'd be like a 004 or something.
Right, you're
like
at the front of the C's.
Right.
Right?
Oh, C-A. C-A, huh. Weird.
Maybe okay. You had a heavy A-B class.
Maybe. Yeah. Actually, speaking of our last name, you sent me something the other day. One thing that you and I have talked about, I don't think we've done it on the pop, is our desire, which is normal, to own a castle.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Our desire, Ben, or the collective desire of everyone who's ever lived, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Everyone knows the feeling of wanting to own a castle.
Right. It's like, yeah, it's like big stone building.
Yeah.
Need it.
Exactly.
Gotta have it. And plus, you know, I'm sure this is already a thing, but then you could have CastleCon.
Dude, you could have CastleCon.
Everybody could show up. We're all in castle, you know?
Right.
Hanging out, high-fiving. Having a good time.
Right.
There's nothing about CastleCon that's not the most fun thing in the world.
It occurs to me, we could probably rent a castle for CastleCon. And, I mean, it's not nearly as fun, obviously, if you can't invite people to your castle.
I know, right. It's like, welcome to our castle.
Welcome to... That sounds like, so much better.
It does!
It sounds like, worth not even doing the event.
Right, right. Unless if you have to say welcome to the castle.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow. Ugh. It just, the way it comes out of your mouth.
I know, I know. Okay. It's like a bucket of sour bandages.
How would you say that?
I was trying to think of, I was trying to think of something, you know, really, really horrible. Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. People are just loving this episode of The Pop where we're talking about poop and sour bandages.
Sour bandages.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, yes, we joke about it a lot. And of course, one of the problems living in Virginia is just there's not that many castles in Virginia, and especially not like, that many that are for sale.
When, yeah, when. When the early settlers were filling out, you know, like, what was the deal with the complete lack of castles?
It seemed like a prime opportunity. Like, if you live in a place that's already got, like, its established castles, you can't be like, you know, sort of like, a castle serves a good portion of land, you feel like. You want to, like, have nothing but castles.
No,
then it's not special.
I mean, no, yeah, exactly. You can only have a few.
But, hey, if you're, like, the first people here, you'd be like, guys, we could build the castle.
I honestly, yeah, I feel like if I had been there, you know, like in 1607, I would have been like, guys, weekend project idea. Weekend we start project. Building. I found some rocks over there by the river. We build a castle.
We do it.
Like, we could go for it.
And like, Virginia is where people were landing.
I know.
You know?
I know.
It's prime for castle. Anyway.
And nobody considered it, apparently.
No, I guess.
Well, which is it's probably for the better, really, yeah. Truly when it comes down to it. But
there are castles in Virginia. That's just,
we have castles?
Dude, you can look up, you can go on Google and just type in castles and type in the state. They exist.
Okay.
Sometimes they're a little like...
It's a stretch to call it a castle.
It's a stretch. It's not like a stone building with turrets.
Okay, why need a stone building with turrets?
That's obviously what we mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like when you come to CastleCon, you'll get what you expect.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not going to be like just a fancy house. It's not just going to be like a big place.
No.
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 No. No. No. No. So anyway, we've talked about it. Someone shared me a link on Twitter that apparently in the country of Scotland, there, I guess when people die, they, you know, they bequeath all they own often in a will or something.
Right.
To whoever they want. And if they don't, then I don't know if this is the case everywhere, but I guess in Scotland, the natural progression is that it will just simply go to the next living heir.
Sure.
However, there are situations where people die and the next known heir or family relation at all is simply not known. And they don't leave a will behind.
Right.
So you have what is called an unclaimed estate.
Oh.
So.
Love the sound of it.
So someone shares me this article.
Jay, when you say unclaimed estate, you mean unclaimed castle.
That is exactly. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna get there.
Okay. Okay.
So
okay. Continue.
This link someone shares me is this news article from somewhere in Scotland basically saying that there's over, you know, 700 or so unclaimed estates.
Castles.
Castle in, yeah, when you say estate, it sounds like you definitely mean really big,
like,
house.
Like, technically, the property in which you formerly owned and it's, like, accompanying whatevers is an estate. Like,
right.
it could be like a brick ranch.
Right. Whatever wealth you attained during your life is your estate.
Yes.
But whenever people say, like, you think, like, welcome to the estate, you're thinking, like, courtyard. You're thinking castle.
Castle.
So anyway, this article says there's over 700 unclaimed estates in Scotland, and if you have an unusual last name, you may stand to, you know, inherit it.
Yeah.
And it lists...
I think it's nine names.
It lists nine names. The full spreadsheet has, like, you know, 700 or whatever.
Sure.
But it lists nine names. And literally the first one is Carlin.
What?
I know.
Is our last name.
That is our... I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, of course, your mind immediately goes there and we're like, do we already... Could it... No. Is it even possible that we already own a castle?
Guys, book your tickets now. CastleCon 2021.
CastleCon coming to Scotland. And I'm like, I always thought our family was from Ireland, but you know what? It's pretty close. Who's to say?
It could be the same.
Who's to say? So, and of course, this news article is like promoting, like, if you have one of these unusual last names, you might stand to inherit, whatever it is. And you would think that the names they pulled would be, because this is the nature of the article, that the names they pulled would be associated with like the really fancy ones.
Yes.
Because they put like a big picture of indeed what looked like a very castle-y
type. Like if it is the one that we should be, you know, like heir to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I would have been, it would have been perfectly castle enough for me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm like, man, okay. Probably a lot of the, probably a lot of the names on this list are just like, just, you know, homes, regular, but if they obviously would have picked out the really cool ones to put in the article, and ours was the first one, it must, like, no way. There's an unclaimed Carlin Castle out there?
The Carlin Castle even has, the alliteration.
So I'm like, of course, I'm like also thinking pretty much there's no chance we were actually related to the person who left whatever estate behind.
None whatsoever.
But it's so fun to imagine.
Yes, it
is. So you're like, you may as well, I may as well look, because it's better to know for sure that I don't accidentally own a castle.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you need to do your homework.
You need to
do your homework. If there's a chance, you check.
Exactly. If a castle's up for grabs, you check.
Right.
So I download the spreadsheet and I find that, there's this huge list and there is one person named Carlin on it, and it like lists the address and stuff, like where they used to live, and I'm looking it up, I'm like, oh my god, what's it gonna look like? And it is just so unimpressive looking. Like, no offense to Stella H. Carlin, who left behind an unclaimed estate, but I think it was like an apartment in a not very fancy section of town.
Like, at least what Google Maps showed me when I looked at it, it looked like there was a very real possibility that there was like an auto body, like type of garage, you know, like a mechanic shop.
Yeah.
Like either at the location or maybe next to the location. It was kind of hard to tell.
It was hard to tell.
So, which, nothing wrong with a good auto body shop.
Nothing wrong.
Like, I mean, I would say it's fourth on locations that I would hope to discover that I was heir to.
Yeah. It was a little disappointing. I mean, not that we even, it wasn't, if you found out you actually were related, it would still be cool.
It would be so cool.
It would still be cool. But I really doubt that we are, because I think our relatives would just be aware of this person.
It would seem that way.
It would seem that way.
Well, and also what mom explained to me, so this is the hidden truth, the thing I don't tell you.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have more information.
Well, I told mom about it because I thought she would think it was awesome, which she did.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, but you want to know what the problem is? Is that if you went to claim it, you would have to pay all of, in order to receive said castle.
Right.
You would have to pay all the back taxes on it.
Oh.
Which would be like, if it's a castle, chances are it's been like a long time's worth of back taxes.
Yeah.
So like, chances are, even if you were heir to it, you might be heir to a gigantic back tax bill.
Oh. That could be a problem.
Right. To where you would probably need to then potentially sell the estate / castle, as it were, in order to, you know.
Pay the taxes on it. Well, that could be its own problem.
That would be, I think the industry term for it is buzzkill.
That would be a total buzzkill.
Like, if you were that close to a castle.
It also occurred to me that even if we proved that our family was the family related to Stella...
Yeah.
That we would not be the eldest living heir with a claim to it.
It does also seem that that would be a potential problem.
Right.
If there's no finders keepers in this particular...
Who knows?
Quite honestly, in the adult world, any circumstance that where I think finders keepers should come into play, it pertains almost entirely and exclusively to castles.
Okay, well, this is my message out to anyone listening from Scotland who works in the unclaimed estate's apartment, that not apartment department
department
that you know, if you're looking for some Carla, if you want to knock Stella off your list, you know, our family is a good place to start.
Yeah
You know,
like how funny would it be if like we literally like took this space and like installed like an inflatable castle on top of like, you know, what is otherwise like a rather modest home, and it's like, well, now it's a castle.
Yeah, I have no way to prove that we're related to this person.
We have like sevens of tickets available for the first ever CastleCon.
Also, if your family owns a castle and would like to host CastleCon, you know, we could talk.
I mean, yeah. Look, what's there not to love about CastleCon?
Look, surely everyone's gonna love it.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. They will. Can we line the floors with like hay? It feels like that's a thing at castles. Is that floors are made of hay? Well, it's like hay on rocks.
I feel like maybe where the animals are, not where the people live.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Am I focusing on the wrong areas of the cool parts of the castle?
I mean, it's not like the stable isn't a cool part.
It's a great part.
You know,
it's where horses. Angus would live.
Have I talked to you about horses on the pop before?
I have no idea. Have we?
I don't think we have, but...
Do you have a relationship with horses?
I don't have a relationship with horses, Ben, but horses are a thing that I like. I wish I was really into horses. You know what I mean?
You like...
It sounds like, why aren't you?
You just could be.
You just could be.
And yet, But, you're not.
Well, it's hard to be really into horses because, as I understand it, horses are expensive and require lots of land and lots of probably a certain amount of like learning from a person about how to take care of a horse and
sure,
stuff like that.
Sure, I could see that.
But man, it just seemed like horses are just cool.
Horses are cool.
You know?
They are. Although I tend to be quite afraid of them.
Well, they're big.
They're quite large, yes.
But like, not on my bucket list is to own a horse.
Whoa!
You know?
Would you name it Angus?
I would not. No. What? Ben, horse names are some of the best parts about owning a horse.
Is you get to name it something incredible.
You get to name it something
Jay, off the walls. Popcorn. This is my horse, Popcorn.
Oh, that's not a bad name.
It's not a bad name for a horse.
But like, horses can have like entire phrases for names.
True.
You know?
True.
This could be like, it doesn't have to be popcorn. It could be like, this is cheesy popcorn, you know? It could be like, this is popcorn at the movies.
Oh,
you know?
Popcorn,
you know what I
mean? at the movies is a great name for a horse.
See what I mean?
Okay, guys, when you come to CastleCon, there actually will be a meet and greet available for popcorn at the movies.
Maybe popcorn at the movies should be the official horse of CastleCon. The official mascot, I'm sorry.
The official mascot.
Yeah, the official mascot.
Popcorn at the movies, the horse.
Yeah.
Available now at Pop at CastleCon. Is CastleCon already a thing? Surely someone's already considered.
Look, just because someone's had a CastleCon doesn't mean we can't also have CastleCon.
You know, this is the type of thing that you could commit to in a variety of different ways. Like, we could make it like a modern day Game of Thrones, like where we actually go and figure out like whatever type of lucrative steps are involved with coming into possession of a castle.
Like, we need to like find someone who owns a castle on shaky grounds and like legal loophole them out of it.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Jay, this is the Game of Thrones.
This is the...
Do it for popcorn.
Oh my gosh. Popcorn at the movies. Would we have a throne in the castle?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. It'll be surrounded by hay.
It's popcorn throne.
It's popcorn throne. He can't really sit on it, but he can be near it.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
I believe that at a friend's birthday party when I was a child, there was one occasion where they had like a field in their backyard, and it may have been a pony.
Yeah.
Although I'm not totally sure if a pony is just a small horse or
and mini horses are different things.
Okay.
Which to me, growing up, I feel like this is one of these things that was hard for my brain to dislodge. Like, to me, a pony was just a baby horse.
Right.
I feel like how it was taught to me as a kid. I don't think that's the truth.
Like, ponies evolve into horses.
Yes.
When they hit level 16.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, that's when your Ponyta turns into your Rapidash.
Right.
And,
is level 16 correct?
Level 16 is not correct. It's close. I think it's level 40. It's like way too high for how late in the game you get Ponyta.
Way too high. I'm not pleased with that information at all.
Ugh, I know.
Okay. Well, so anyway, I think this is the one occasion where I rode a horse. I think I was six and it was very brief. I took one lap and I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. Yeah.
I've successfully ridden this horse. Actually, interestingly, in high school, I would say, for someone who was mildly afraid of horses, I consistently dated girls that were very big into, like, showing horses. Like, it was, like, something they spent an enormous amount of, like, time and energy into.
Yeah.
Like, it was their cross country. It was, like, showing horses.
It was, like, showing horses.
Yeah. And I remember I went to, like, one of the shows. I was terrified of the horse.
They big. You cannot undersell how big a horse, or even like, have you ever been near a cow up close?
Huge!
Like, they're so big.
So, okay, that's the thing too, is I feel like someone told me once upon a time, if you walk behind a horse, they might kick you.
Right.
And that's like it for me. I was like, whenever I'm around a horse, I'm like orienting. It's like, I'm going to stand near your face here.
Right.
But then like, if you feed a horse an apple and you watch the way that it crushes an apple, you're like, do I want to be near the face?
I think lest you are like standing behind a horse when a car backfires in front of it, you're right. Probably okay.
It's not going to kick me.
Yeah, I don't think so. This is, again, I don't know. I haven't been learned in the horse ways.
We'll figure it out.
But yeah, my only real experience riding horses is that when we used to go to 4-H camp, which we've talked about.
Yeah, we have.
On the pop. And like one of the classes you can sign up for is like horseback riding.
Yep.
Now, I did not sign up for horseback riding, but I arrived at camp and they handed my little card that had all your classes for the day on it. And it said, horseback riding. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I didn't sign up for that. And they're like, oh no, don't, well, we can't really change it now, so you're gonna have to do it.
Yeah.
But don't worry. This is like, actually, I'm not sure how you got it if you didn't sign up, because it's one of the harder ones to get into. And then I was suddenly like, pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. Okay. It's like, not to brag, guys. When do you guys have horseback riding?
Yeah, that's right, you don't.
It's not on your card. Wow.
That's right.
Wow, 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 wow. Yeah, I was on a wait list for it, you know, had to make, call in some favors.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, sure enough, I like every day that week at 4-H, I got to ride a horse, and I was, you know, considerably smaller than I was now, probably than you were in high school, so the horse is even extra bigger.
Even extra bigger.
Even extra bigger. And it was the thing, by the end of the week, I was like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, like, that's really the only experience I've had. And it's not like I even, like, call back to that moment as the reason I want to be, like, more into horses.
Yeah.
But also, oh, here's another great one.
Okay.
There's this great hike in Virginia to the highest peak in Virginia called Mount Rogers.
Yeah.
You know, it's the weirdest hike ever because, first of all, the peak is in the middle of the woods.
Right, yes.
So you get to the top, you can't see anything.
There's no overlook.
Yeah. However, the rest of the hike, all the way up to the top, there's like no trees at all. So you get the view almost the whole way up until the actual top.
How funny.
But you wouldn't be looking at the view at all because you know what else is along the way?
What else is along the way?
Wild ponies!
Jay, why have I not done this hike?
I don't know, Ben. It's the best.
Oh my gosh.
You can feed them.
Apples?
Carrots? Whatever you want.
How about popcorn?
I mean, I feel like maybe...
Maybe
like
we should do some research
food on what's maybe not a good thing for them. I don't know about it though.
We'll do some research on what's acceptable to feed our horses before we buy our castle and have our stable with Angus and popcorn at the movies.
Yeah. Anyway, that's
okay. Okay. Well, Jay, I'm here to support you on your quest
to own a horse.
To own a horse, because partly this sounds like a really fun challenge
So fun.
It seems like I'm excited to help you uncover the ways of horse ownership.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
Was there a word for that? Probably something.
Surely for
horse equestrian.
An equestrian.
I don't know if that's right. I feel like that's a certain kind of horse ownership.
Jay,
it's not.
If you're going to be an equestrian, you got to own it.
Yeah.
People at home who know are like, guys, you are so missing the mark. Anyway, be sure to email us if you have any thoughts or information about horse ownership at popcornculturepod. Or castle ownership at popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. I do want to give a special thank you to the following patrons, including Christy James, who wants to wish a happy birthday to her other half, Adam Logan, Sam Goldman, James Bruinsma, Addison Roten, Nathan Moat, Emmeline Barnden, Nimi hold on, let me try this again.
Okay.
Nimi Batatiri.
I think it's just Batti. Oh no, there is a second set of T's.
There is.
Batatiri.
Hey, let's go with it. Catherine Andringa, Janina, Cassidy Dingman, Ben Myers, Michelle Light Martinez, Julia Kendall, and Katie Beck.
Oh, well, thank you all so much for your support on Patreon.
Otherwise, guys, until next week,
pop, pop!
Regular talking voice. Just try to speak in a volume that sounds like I'm telling Ethan about a story about a time that I interacted with a Karen.
Oh, I'm so interested.
Oh, man, I actually feel like there could be a game where you use the volume of your voice to, like, helicopter.
I was literally thinking that exact same thing as you were doing that, and I do think that exists.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Bop, bop, bop.
You're, like, Flappy Birding it.
Flappy Birding it.
Bop, 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 b